2024, and we're back.
Back for two new eps.
Twice eps for you, coming from us, me and Alex. That intro is worse than the one we just deleted.
Yes, yes.
Yes, hello everyone. Happy New Year and welcome back to Two Flat Whites podcast. I am Laura.
And I'm Alex.
And if you're new here, welcome. We have just come back for a little brief. Soiree for the start of this year because I'm very pregante, and that means pregnant for those of you that don't know. And
sie ist in Umständen.
See, and I can't really do this for that much longer because I don't have the brain power or energy.
Things are getting rough in the pod studio, which is literally a baby room.
Yep, this is literally, we're literally recording from the baby room. And I can't sit upright for very long. That's the other thing. So we're just coming back to give you another little taste before, like, who knows when I'll come back.
Yeah.
Because we'll be gone for a while after I exit a human out of myself.
Yes, we'll cease to exist temporarily.
Yeah.
So just coming in to give you a taste to keep you hooked.
But thank God you'll have 32 plus like 4 bonus episodes to listen to while we're gone if you're new. So you've got plenty of time to just catch up on all of our nonsense and get to know us real well until we're back at some point, probably later in the year.
Yep.
But for now, hello, and it's the new year. We're in 2024, and I can't believe that I'm even saying that. How has that happened?
Yes, mental. Yes. I don't know. Christmas is done. New Year's is done. Time for a new year. Repeat it all again. In 2 months, you'll have a babe.
Yes.
I won't.
You won't. You won't.
Not that I know of.
You can come look after mine.
Okay.
And I'll go on a picnic.
Is that already what you're dreaming of?
Mm.
I can watch your baby while you go on a picnic. Not when he's really fresh, though. I want him to hold his own head up before I look after him.
You want the fontanelle to be completely closed.
I want at least the posterior fontanelle to be fully closed. That's my metric for looking after your child.
Deal. Half the fontanelle risk in that. In half. Half
I know, I can just avoid the top of the skull easy enough. The back can't be done.
The back can't be done, no. Wow, Christmas is done. I just had a really weird Christmas and New Year's period. I don't know about you, but, like, I felt so scattered. It was Nick and I's. How do you say that? Mine and Nick's,
I think.
Nick and I's.
If it was Nick and my.
Yeah, Nick
my
and my.
My and Nick's, one of them, yep.
It was Nick and my last Christmas alone, just us two, before a whirlwind person joins our house. Mm. And he also had hand surgery like a week and a half, like 10 days before Christmas. So, like, that was like a huge focus. And Christmas was just like weird because, like, I didn't have my family to see, and it was just weird. And then, like, we've been so focused on baby stuff, and, like, we bought a new car, so not a new car, it's new to us, but, like, everything else was so stressful and took away from Christmas. It was the first Christmas that I didn't really feel present. I don't know, like, yeah, it was really weird.
No pun intended.
Present.
And you present. Love Christmas. You're a Christmas dude.
I know. I didn't even, like, feel like listening to Christmas songs, or, like, like, we put the tree up and I was like, great. I kept forgetting to turn the lights on. On the tree.
Yes. And upstairs.
And upstairs.
The lights are on. There's no one home.
The lights in my house are on. The lights in my brain are slowly fading. Day by day, there's something else that I do that I'm like, what's happening to me?
It's just like keeping a pregnancy diary. I feel like it'll be a fun read.
Ah, yes. Well, what did I do today? Nothing really. I got upset. I'm getting upset quite a lot now. And I said to, it was funny because I said to Nick, like, maybe I reckon a month and a half ago, I said to him, you know what? It's pretty great because I haven't really gone through, like, really intense, like, emotions and periods of like just breaking down into tears and really getting like angry and upset like all the time, like everyone sort of talks about during pregnancy, are your emotions all over the place?
Yeah.
Mine have been pretty like all right. And then it was like a week later and I cried every day that week after I said that.
Yeah.
Uncontrollable.
The light is here.
God is here. God like just that. Joined us in the nursery.
Got anything to say, God? Quiet as usual.
I love to watch her cry. Cry.
Weep, bitch.
Weep for me. Ow.
That's what you get, you atheist slut.
And shine all the light on this atheist hoe.
Gonna get that baby baptized or what?
I'll baptize him myself. Anyway, off topic. We can't leave that in, can we?
Well, I think we've been pretty anti-God before, worse than that. You talked about stuffing Jesus down a chimney, having his crucified feet sticking out. I think we can talk about God baptizing a baby against its will.
Well, it's all against the baby's will. Every baptism is against the baby's will.
I did not consent to be baptized, and yet there I was.
Me neither, and here I am, holier than fuck. Like... baptized
now. If I'm bad, I have to go to hell.
Yeah, what's up right. with that? I didn't ask to be baptized, but I was put in a very long dress that was three times my height, dunked in water, and here I am. The spirit,
a sinner,
a sinner. The spirit defies me every day. No, I defy the spirit.
This is a tangent. A anyway. Ramble.
That's all I had to say about Christmas.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Christmas. I like the opposite thing, right? My Christmas was so chill, and then I came back, and it's like there's so many things in January, and they're all overlapping, and it's like how is everything just happening at the same time?
Mm.
But I think it's because there's a Christmas break, and then everyone does everything.
Mm. You've had an acting thing happen.
Yeah, I'm doing
a short film or something, right?
No, I've got an extras gig. Yeah, there's an Australian TV show and I'm acting as an extra in it. I'll give you more details when it's released, but it's a pretty cool gig doing that for 4 days next week. But it's also literally like when I'm supposed to go back to work properly and it's when I'm house sitting and it's just like...
Yeah, lots of things.
Yeah. Time for misery?
Let's jump into the misery.
God, it's hot.
Are you making a joke?
You're it so is hot.
Hot. Don't turn the fan geschmolzed. On.
Okay. We'll suffer for our craft. It's fine. I also just run hot, you know? I'm always hot.
Me too. Now.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, you're literally an oven.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. I'm the bakery.
Yes. Baking a real good bun.
Why does it have to be bun? Why can't it be pork? Or... something.
Seems weird. I'm growing up pork roast.
Well, I'm sorry, the baby's closer to a pig than it is to a loaf of bread.
I don't know, there's something cute about growing
a bun
as opposed to roasting a chunk of dead pig.
Why is it dead?
Well, why are you doing a pig roast in the oven?
Oh, yes.
You'd hope the pig's dead if it's in the oven.
Oh, because it's meat. Yes, 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 yes.
Ah, yes.
Come
that
on.
That old chestnut.
Mm.
That would have been good audio if we were recording.
I have been.
Oh, that's recording the audio. Uh-huh. Okay, shall we begin?
Yeah. It's my miserable / maternity moment where we talk about miserable things that have happened to us in the past fortnight, and in this case, since our last episode, which was a while ago.
Mm.
You can start us off, please.
Right. Cool.
What's your misery?
I don't know for sure if this is going to be miserable or not, but I just have kind of like a funny parent story. The prelude to that is my parents are about to move, right?
Move house.
One and just house like another away. Thing that's overlapping. Yeah, my parents are moving like down the street back into my childhood home. Long story. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. They're moving two houses down the street. And like we've all just been up there for Christmas. And now we need to, my younger brother and I are going back to help them move again because that's the moving date that I decided. But anyway... And mum sends me a text message this morning and she's like, do you have a spare TV AV cable? And I was like,
oh my God.
I don't think so. I think.
Is that like the red, blue, and yellow? Sorry, red, white, and yellow?
I'm not, I don't know if this is the correct word for it. The actual TV antenna cord. Like the one that goes into the plug.
Oh.
Just the single one.
Yeah, not the red ones. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
To get like the TV signal, like the analog signal, which I don't even know if they need anymore. And I was like, no, but I think there's one in your garage. She's like, we bought a new TV.
Fab.
And I was like, why?
Yeah,
like,
why?
What do you mean? Like, during lockdown, Dad and I bought a new TV for their lounge room. So it's been like 3 years, I guess. But I'm just like, why have you bought another TV? I'm like, what TV did you buy? And Mum's like, a Samsung. I'm like,
same TV.
I was like, but you already have a Samsung. So why I'm a bit apprehensive about this is because last time Dad bought a TV by himself.
Yeah.
He's like, look at our new TV that we got. And I'm like, it's a 40-inch Samsung. He's like, yes. I'm like, your last TV was a 40-inch Samsung.
You bought the same TV.
Like, it's like 2 years newer or something. But I'm like, why did... And I think the reason he got it, because he's like, oh, we got it for a good deal. I'm like, it's the same TV. Like, during lockdown, we upgraded the TV to a smart TV and a 55-inch, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a bigger room than what they used to have it in. So it kind of made sense. But now I'm just like praying that when I get there tonight, they haven't gone and bought another 55-inch same thing.
They probably have.
They probably have. They didn't. The TV wasn't broken, so I'm going to be like, "Why did you?"
Is it for another room? Maybe.
No, it's for the main room. So I'm just.
So where do they? What are they doing with the other one?
This is what I'm going to suss that out tonight. I think it'll end up going in like the kids' room, where they can watch like Disney movies and stuff on it. But after the last time, I was like, before you make any major tech decisions, just consult with one of your children.
Yes.
And it's like, and also just the fact they live in a country town, so they probably went and bought it for way too much money because there's not the option. They can't go to JB Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I reckon it's like, there's much better deals at JB Hi-Fi at the moment. But anyway, we'll see. This is just one of the things I think we'll have to see how we go with.
It's not really your problem anyway.
It's not my problem. It's not my problem.
It's not your house. So, it doesn't matter.
True.
Or your money. True. So, I mean, it's your inheritance. Going down the toilet.
Swishing away my inheritance.
buying the same TV 8 times.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, maybe they got a 65-inch and I'll be pleasantly surprised.
I hope for your sake that it is. You can enjoy it.
Me too.
So, you're going up to help them move.
Going up to help them move, which has been very confusing. But anyway, I won't get into that. But yes, they're moving next door. There's a massive moving thing happening on Thursday morning. So we have to do a lot of like the pre-moving today for the movers to come early Thursday.
Gosh, moving is to Melbourne again. So stressful.
Yeah.
I never want to move.
Yeah. Well, I think this is why it's my miserable moment because I hate moving.
Moving's awful. Yeah. It's so stressful. Like lucky they're only moving next door. Moving.
That is a blessing. Yeah.
And it's like in a quiet place and it's to a house that's theirs, you know, already. Like,
yeah.
Isn't this like a thing that moving house is like the most stressful thing you can do? Second to like divorce or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I wonder where like having a child sits on that scale.
Yeah, surely number 3.
Could be number 1.
Could be. I mean, I feel like having a child would be a more prolonged level of stress because like once you've moved, you've moved. But yeah, I hate moving. This is why I started getting rid of so much stuff because of moving and hating moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We just did like a massive clean out like before babe arrives and I threw out so much stuff and I'm like, this is going to be so much better and like put everything into crates.
Yep.
And was like, this is going to be so much better when we do have to move one day. Or even if I just have to like rearrange the rooms again. It's like, you know everything, you know what you have and there's not a shitload of it.
Yeah. Everything you, yeah.
Because I just have such a bad habit of collecting stuff. No, I have a bad habit of, like, saying yes to people giving me stuff.
Yeah.
And I've had to, like, say my nonna and my mum came and helped me and Nick, like, rearrange our bedrooms to, like, set up the nursery and stuff. And we did a big clean out of the house. And I had this big, not an argument, but, like, a chat to my mum about because she was like, you have so many things. And I'm like, yeah, because like most of it comes from like I get stuff from you, I get clothes from you and from my grandparents and other people like in the family give me things that they don't want anymore. And this is like back to the whole minimalism thing. Is it like I really want to live like that, but I'm like guilted into saying yes to taking other people's belongings that they are too sad to throw away themselves and they feel better if I take it.
Yes, yes.
Because I know that, like, someone's got it and I'm like, ugh, but then I just have to keep it. And then, like, I probably am not going to use it because I've just said yes after saying no 8 times.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to.
It's not a fuck yes, definitely not.
No.
Yeah, well, props to my parents. They've actually gotten rid of a lot of stuff.
That's good.
Which is, like, for a long time they had a lot of my grandparents' stuff and now they've just been, like, really ruthless. But then, yeah, sometimes. You have to be. Yeah, you need to be. Like, they are getting rid of my grandpa's record player.
Oh no.
And I was like, that makes me sad. I know. I was like, that's quite cool. And I was like, oh, what a shame. But then I was like, for a second, I was like, maybe I should keep this. And I was like, it's like this fucking big. And I'm like, and I don't listen to enough music. And I don't have any records.
You don't really like that much music.
Just got his old school German Christmas records. I'm like, that would be fun to play at Christmas, but that's it. And I could also just play them on YouTube. Like, so
that's the thing. Yeah. We've got a record player too, which I love, and I never use it because it's so much easier to just whack it on your phone.
Yeah.
Something about music that comes out of a record player, though, the way it sounds, there's nothing like it. It's really
cool. And there'd be something cool about playing his old records from Germany, but I'm like, we're probably never going to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But anyway.
Well, I mean, good luck with the TV. You'll find out tonight.
I will find out tonight.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Do you have a maternity moment, Ladu?
I do have a maternity moment that is kind of like a miserable moment too. So I had my blood glucose test.
Mm.
I don't know if I told you about this.
You said you had the test.
I had the test. And for those of you who don't know, they test for gestational diabetes, which is like a common thing. It basically means pregnancy diabetes that you can develop when you're pregnant. And if you do, you have to be medicated for it, et cetera. So they do this test. And it was so shit having it done.
Yeah.
It was just, and it's just another one of those things that it's like, I didn't know that this was going to be like, it's not just like a normal blood test. And it's just bad. It's just a bad thing to have to do. I might just say trigger warning for anyone who has a needle phobia, skip to like the next chunk because I will be talking about needles. Yeah. Skip a good like 2 or 3 minutes. You basically.
You had to drink a bunch of glucose?
Yeah. It's like, so my appointment was at 9 o'clock in the morning. You have to fast for 12 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I ate was, I think, 8 p.m. the previous night. And you can only have water from that point onwards. But, like, you get there and they take one blood sample. Then they make you drink, within 5 minutes of them taking the first blood sample, you have to drink this, I think it's 500 mils. They give you this bottle and it's just basically like sweet, sweet water. But yeah, it's like glucose. I don't know. It's just like an extremely sugary drink, but like no fizz, just flat, sweet water. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And you have to drink that and finish it within 5 minutes of them taking the test and you're sitting there and like you've just been jabbed and you're like empty stomach. You have to drink all this gross liquid, and then you have to go out and wait for an hour, and then they test your blood again, and then you have to go out and wait for another hour, and then they test your blood again.
Oh god!
So it's three blood tests. Where are they
stabbing you in the same place?
Yeah, I was trying to get all three done in the same arm, so I didn't have like two arms out of action.
Yeah.
But I was so dehydrated by the third, because like I knew I should have kept drinking water, but by the second or third, after the second blood test, I was like, I can't drink any more liquid. Like I've had all that liquid. I've had only water all morning. It's just liquid upon liquid and I haven't eaten. Mm. And then I started to feel really faint and just gross. And it was like, if you don't eat when you're pregnant, you start to feel really crap anyway. Like I notice if I haven't eaten in an hour or like a couple of hours, I start to feel pretty like average.
Yeah.
So I was just like this shell of a person, and like there was another woman having it done too, and she was nauseous from the drink, and I was like, fuck, I hope I don't get nauseous from this bloody drink too. So both of us just sitting there like, well, miserable in our chairs, and like you can't leave. And yeah, by the third test I was so dehydrated that like she tried to go in for a third time, she couldn't draw any blood.
It's like my worst nightmare when I know people talk about people fishing around for a vein.
Literally. Well, she got the vein and then she took it out and then she was like, it's not working. She took it out and she's like, oh, you're not even bleeding. Like, you know how normally after a needle you bleed a little bit? I didn't even bleed. So then she had to try the other arm and I was like, and it was awful. It was just like an awful experience. Anyway, so Nick picked me up and then by the time I got out of there, yeah, it was like 11:30-ish. Mm. And so like so long without food. No, I think it was later than that. I don't know. It was so long without food, well over 12 hours, which is far too long for a pregnant person to not eat for, but it's like, I guess it's necessary. Anyway.
No, you were probably so dehydrated you couldn't even cry.
Yeah, no, I couldn't cry. I was so upset and I felt just depressed and awful. It was, ugh. Mm. Well, I don't have gestational diabetes, which is a big tick, but I did find out that I have very little iron left in me. The babe has taken the lot.
Most of his structure is iron, I think. Yeah. Like a lot of him is iron. Something like that.
It's so weird. Mm. Yeah, I was at like 70. You're supposed to be above 30 for your iron. I was at 70 around the time at the start of my pregnancy because they tested me like 5 or 6 weeks in.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting at, I think it was 15.
Mm. Have you been tired?
Very, yeah. Very tired. I'm on iron supplements now, but I was getting to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and my eyes were literally burning from being so tired.
Yeah, right.
Like that feeling when you've been awake for far too long, but yeah. I'm like, well,
I've only been awake for like 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and not sleeping well on top of that, like true. I can't sleep properly, but still it's like, no, I shouldn't be that tired that early.
Hmm.
So I'm feeling a bit better now, but yeah, bloody hell. It was awful. Hmm. Awful. And aside from that, I've just been crying a fair bit lately and that's been just shit, but it's not that bad. Other than that, can't really complain about anything else. I'm 30 weeks along now. Mm. I'm 3/4 of the way through and I feel stressed.
Yeah.
Very stressed.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. On to the next topic.
On to the next minute. Welcome, everyone, to the brand new segment.
AI readings.
Yes. Okay. So with AI being such a hot topic at the moment, yes, we came up with an idea for a new segment where we would read AI generated story content.
Mm-hmm. Or AI generated like versions of existing stuff like books, films,
yes,
pop culture references and et cetera.
Because AI comes without some bloody funny shit sometimes.
Yes.
So we thought we'd start off this one with quite a famous example, but it's from a few years back. So I'll read the explanation about what this is from The Verge. So Botnick Studios created a 3-page chapter for Harry Potter titled Harry Potter and the Portrait of What Looked Like a Large Pile of Ash.
Mm.
After training an algorithmic tool on all 7 of the Harry Potter, the children's fantasy novels. Yeah, so anyway, from what I remember, it's quite funny, but I haven't read it in like 5 years. But we thought we'd just read it for you on the pod and get some reactions.
You read it back in the day, didn't you? I reckon I may have read it back in the day. It's basically just someone that's asked an AI to like read, because I've seen like a Batman one,
yeah,
where it's like asked an AI bot to watch like all the Batman movies 1,000 times and then come up with its own script for a Batman movie, and the script is just so bad and funny. Maybe we can read that one next.
I feel like this is a great idea because I feel like this is exactly our sort of humor. It's like nonsense. Like some people don't like nonsense humor, but I think that is our humor.
It definitely is. Mm. Stuff that like half makes sense but doesn't and throws in a little twist of complete crap.
Yeah, no one does it quite like AI.
No. Okay, so we'll start off. We're going to read a paragraph at a time.
Yep. So this chapter is called The Handsome One.
Oh.
The castle grounds snarled with a wave of magically magnified wind. The sky outside was a great black ceiling, which was full of blood. The only sounds drifting from Hagrid's hut were the disdainful shrieks of his own furniture. Magic. It was something Harry Potter thought was very good. Very good.
Leathery sheets of rain lashed at Harry's ghost as he walked across the grounds towards the castle. Ron was standing there and doing a kind of frenzied tap dance. He saw Harry and immediately began to eat Hermione's family.
What? How did they get this from?
What?
Ron's Ron shirt was just as bad as Ron himself.
Because his mum knits, like...
Oh, that makes me awesome.
His mum knits them sweaters with, like, their name on them.
Yeah, just as bad as Ron himself. Oh. If you two can't clump happily, I'm going to get aggressive, confessed the reasonable Hermione.
Clump. What about Ron magic, offered Ron. To Harry, Ron was a loud, slow and soft bird. Harry did not like to think about birds. Death Eaters are on top of the castle, Ron bleated, quivering. Ron was going to be spiders. He just was. He wasn't proud of that. But it was going to be hard to not have spiders all over his body after all is said and done.
I remember Ron is going to be spiders. It was one
of
my favorites.
Oh my God.
Look, said Hermione, obviously there are loads of Death Eaters in the castle. Let's listen in on their meetings. The three complete friends zapped onto the landing outside the door to the castle roof. They almost legged it, but witches are not climbing. Ron looked at the doorknob and then looked at Hermione with searing pain. I think it's closed, he said. Locked, said Mr. Staircase, the shabby-robed ghost. They looked at the door, screaming about how...
Compose yourself.
They looked at the door, screaming about how closed it was and asking it to be replaced with a small orb. The password was Beef Woman, Hermione cried. Sorry, the password was Beef Woman, Hermione cried.
Better. Harry, Ron and Hermione quietly stood behind a circle of Death Eaters who looked bad. I think it's okay if you like me. Said one Death Eater. Thank you very much, replied the other. The first Death Eater confidently leaned forward to plant a kiss on his cheek.
Aww.
Oh, well done, said the second as his friend stepped back again. All the other Death Eaters clapped politely. Then they all took a few minutes to go over the plan to get rid of Harry's magic. After a quick smooch...
His friend steps back.
It's okay if you like me. Thank you very much. And then they kiss.
And everyone's like,
such great. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's kill this boy.
Anyway, to thwart the child.
Harry could tell that Voldemort was standing right behind him.
Oh.
It escalated. He felt a great overreaction. Harry tore his eyes out. Harry tore his eyes out of his head and threw them into the forest. That is a great reaction. Voldemort... I'm going to try and not laugh. Voldemort raised his eyebrows at Harry, who could not see anything at the moment.
Oh my God, I can't. I've read the next...
No, I started looking.
You're crying.
He can't see anything at the moment because he overreacted and ripped his eyes out. Okay.
Oh. I was trying to work out why I couldn't see.
He threw them into the forest. Harry couldn't see anything.
Of course. Oh. I didn't put two and two together. I was like, why can't he see? Did Voldy, like, put his hands on his...
Just another thing that makes no sense in this story.
Yeah.
But at least it's consistent. Okay. Voldemort, you're a very bad and mean wizard, Harry savagely said.
Savage.
Hermione nodded encouragingly. The tall Death Eater was wearing a shirt that said, Hermione has forgotten how to dance.
No.
So Hermione dipped his face in mud.
Ron threw a wand at Voldemort and everyone applauded. Ron smiled. Ron reached for his wand slowly. How? He threw his wand!
Oh, I guess he's reaching to pick it up. I don't know.
Ron's the handsome one, muttered Harry as he reluctantly reached for his. They cast a spell or two and jets of green light shot out of the Death Eaters' heads. Ron flinched. Not so handsome now, thought Harry as he dipped Hermione in hot sauce.
Do they ever say hot sauce in Harry Potter?
Never. The Death Eaters were dead now, and Harry was hungrier than he had ever been. That makes sense. Lots of hard work has been done.
Poor Death Eaters just got the happy ending.
I thought they were quite nice. They were quite friendly.
Let's take Harry's magic away before he shoots our heads into green. Anyway. Lord. The Great Hall was filled with incredible moaning chandeliers and a large librarian who had decorated the sinks with books about masonry. Mountains of... Mountains of mice exploded. Several long pumpkins fell out of McGonagall.
Out of McGonagall.
Mountains of mice exploded. Several long pumpkins fell out of McGonagall. Dumbledore's hair scooted next to Hermione as Dumbledore arrived at school. The pig of Hufflepuff.
Come on! Spit it out!
I can't! The pig of Hufflepuff pulsed like a large bullfrog. Dumbledore smiled at it and placed his hand on its head. You're Hagrid now.
So hang on. The pig of Hufflepuff
pulsed like a large...
is now Hagrid.
Dumbledore smiled at it and placed his hand on its head. You're Hagrid now.
Lovely.
Mm.
We're the only people who matter. He's never going to get rid of us, Harry, Hermione and Ron said in chorus. The floor of the castle seemed like a large pile of magic. The Dursleys had never been to the castle, and they were not about to come there in Harry Potter and the Portrait of What Looked Like a Large Pile of Ash. Harry looked around and then fell down the spiral staircase for the rest of the summer. Just
he looked, but then still fell.
Perpetually falling for the entire summer. I'm Harry Potter, Harry began yelling. The Dark Arts better be worried, oh boy.
That sounds like Harry.
And that's the end of chapter one.
Oh, Christ. Have they done more than this? Because they should.
I thought they had done more. We'll put this link in the show notes so you guys can read it yourself.
Enjoy it with your family. Read it to your kids.
Far out. Yeah, this was, says, last updated 2021, so maybe it wasn't that long ago.
Harry couldn't see anything at the moment.
Because he threw his eyes into the forest. Classic Harry.
Oh, fucking hell, that's good.
I'm going to find the Batman one and we'll do it next week for our finale.
Yes.
That was fucking funny. You could not handle that.
I couldn't. Perfectly
at all. You
to
were
me.
Crying.
I was crying. I don't often cry.
I thought it was funny, but I mean, I wasn't like ruffling as you.
I was trying to keep composed and I just could not.
It's so funny. It's
so fucking stupid.
I just like how it says chapter one. I don't think there are any more chapters because it literally says he was falling down the stairs for the rest of the summer. Like it's the end.
The one that looks like, yep, yeah, this is probably wouldn't be thinking about continuity there. But like the one looked like actual screenshots from a book.
Yeah.
That's at chapter 13, I think.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if it's chapter one or chapter 13. Maybe I think there's only one chapter though.
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh my God, that was funny.
Oh.
Good. Well, if you have any other suggestions for us upon our return, we should generate
some
of our own.
I've actually done that for my friend Jess. We have a long-running joke about a Toad King that... Anyway, it's a long-running joke. The Toad King's in love with her. She's not in love with the Toad King. And I've made some great stories through...
Jess herself.
Chat GPT with Jess and the Toad King.
Okay. It's maybe you'll have to read some of the bits out.
Yes.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for more AI readings to come.
Last segment of penultimate.
Yeah. This is a getting to know you Qs / 10-min DNM, which won't be 10 minutes.
Yeah. Because
which I don't think it ever has been the entire time we've done this segment. We should just call it DNM.
Time, we could just call it DNM.
But anyway, we've decided to kind of combine the two because we wanted to take things back to a time where, you know, we first started the pod and we used to just sort of like talk about life and how hard it is and being a millennial and shit like that, like a bit more personal stuff. But then we also had some good get to know you cues. So we thought we'd combine the two, but we're going to use this question to launch us into a bit of a discussion about that kind of stuff, which you guys seem to enjoy because I think everybody is struggling with the same kind of shit.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
Everyone's uncomfortable at being alive.
Yes. And everyone is scared of the next minute. Everyone doesn't know what to do.
Yes.
Well, I mean, some people do, and I look at them and I'm like, blech.
Are they lying?
I feel like they must be lying. People that are just secure. Some people really just don't seem phased. Happy.
Yeah.
Going along. It's kind of like Nick, I guess.
Actually, yeah, to be fair, your husband is literally this person. Essentially, my husband is just
so content with everything.
This is my brother. I'm like, we are almost the same person, have the same upbringing, have almost exactly the same genetics, and you are entirely different to me in the head.
Yeah.
How? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. But anyway, kick us off. What is the question?
All right. The question is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it?
Mm.
Ladu, why haven't you done it? Begin.
Because I'm afraid.
Afraid of what? Success or failure?
Failure.
What is it?
I always thought I would be a performer
of
some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
I
are
guess,
very funny.
Thank you. I feel like it's one of those things that, and it's like everyone tells me to do it. And everyone's like, you need to do stand-up or you need to just write shows and you need to be an actor and this and that. I worked out pretty quickly after finishing uni that I didn't like acting in front of the camera.
Okay.
And that I preferred, like, stage stuff. And I don't know. I left uni and then, granted, the course we did, I blamed the course we did for a really long time. Which I still kind of do, but then it was kind of my fault for picking the course, I guess, without doing the proper research. And there's this whole thing of like taking your life into your own hands and not blaming other people for things that don't happen for you because you're the only one that can make a difference. But at the end of our course, like when we did like our third year final performance and things like that, like I thought towards the end of our degree doing performing arts drama that we would get opportunities and like talked to a little bit about how to actually have a career in the field of acting and performing arts, but there was sort of none of that. And like I know that other unis had like scouts and things coming to watch the big final performances for the end of year stuff, and we didn't really get any of that.
Yeah.
Like we didn't even, yeah, there weren't many like things that made me go, oh, I know what to do. Like I had, there was no advice.
Yeah.
Really.
Did you, I remember in second year, Liam, who one of our teachers was on Underbelly and some shows like that. And he'd been in some ads and he gave us like a very frank after class discussion once about what working in the film and TV industry is like. So he was specifically talking about working for in front of the camera, but he was pretty much like, in Australia, it's a really rough industry. So if you really want to work as a paid actor consistently on film and TV, you'll need to move to America or the UK.
And what? No, yeah. I don't think I was part of this conversation.
Yeah, maybe like, I don't think it was well advertised. He just said like, I'm going to do this thing. Come if you want to.
Oh, no, maybe I was.
Yeah. I just remember because, like, what stuck with me was him saying is, like, you need to get an American and or an RP accent down and then you need to go to move to one of those countries. But he recommended America and I was just like, I don't vibe with living in America.
No.
And it's not
and
as easy with visas.
And I tried in the UK,
for a while, yeah. Sorry, we're still on your thing, though. I was just had a side tangent about
the anyway, course. Long story short, I thought there would be advice about what to do, like, with career pathways, as I'm sure a lot of people get at the end. And I did have a discussion with the lecturers or whatever, our teachers about it. And, like, the main piece of advice I got was just, like, come back to uni again and do honours.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't want to do any more uni. I was like, I don't think I need to do any more. Like, I know I'm good enough, like, to go out there and do stuff. I just don't know how. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to get an agent. I don't know, like, what to do. I don't know what I would be best in and things like that. And I was just like, I just don't know how to kick this off. And then I left uni. I just went and got a full-time job because I was like, I don't really know what to do right now. I'm going to figure it out later. Classic. Mm. And I just put it on the back burner. But I was also like, I need money. Like, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need a full-time job regardless of what I do at the end of this, my final uni year, because I'm not going to be able to start a career in acting on a casual wage or a part-time wage. And I lived out of home with Nick. And it was just hard, like living paycheck to paycheck all the time as a student. So I was really over it. I was like, I'm sick of not having any money. I still don't have any money. But like the longer I worked, I just sort of stayed in it. And then I was like not really doing anything with acting. And then I started seeing, you know, I was watching my friends that I did the course with leave and they did further studies and like their stuff was amazing. And then they kept making work. And their work was amazing, but I was like, they're not making any money. And I was like, is anybody I know actually going forward, like trying to be an actor in this country? Like, are they actually getting anywhere and are they happy and are they getting to a point where it's like sustainable? And I felt like I was kind of sustainable enough to ditch your full-time job or something, or for it to be your main job and your casual job is like on the side. And I felt like I was waiting to see what other people would do to see if it was worth my while because I was terrified of doing it and failing. I was terrified of putting myself out there and like, and we've spoken about this before, going to hundreds and hundreds of auditions and things like that and then being told no. And I had quite a few bad experiences like auditioning for unis as well to get in.
Oh, really?
And yeah, the whole vibe of it, you just, it's crushing. I don't know how people do it, going to auditions and getting knocked back all the time, like to your face.
Yeah.
Like not over like an email or something. I don't know. It frightened me. And then I was just too afraid to actually like hone in on that talent and like actually go for it. And then, I don't know, my circumstances changed. I like hated my full-time job, so I quit and decided to go and do a job that was just like nothing in a warehouse. And then I did a few acting things, like I wrote a show with Catherine and we did that in Melbourne Fringe. And then I was like, oh, perhaps like this could be like a thing, like, and I can do this all the time and write shows and try to make it. And then we did that. We poured like 5 months of our lives into this show and spent a fair bit of money to do it. And like we broke even and each made like $100 for that much time.
Yeah.
And we sold heaps of tickets and it was like fairly successful for the first time doing a show in Melbourne Fringe. And I was like, is this what it is? Is this the struggle? I was like, this is soul crushing. And I was like, I don't know.
Not your flavor of a shit sandwich?
Well, I don't know, because at the time I had such an amazing time doing it and then I'm like, I want to do this again, but then how do you get the energy to fucking do that again? And where do you get the money from all the time?
Yeah.
You know, and then like my circumstances changed. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in 2018. That was around the time I quit my full-time job, and then my health got worse and worse and worse and sort of like went really downhill at the time that I did the show with Catherine in 2019 or 2000, it was 2019. And I then got married, got a different job because I hated the pickpacking job in the end. And then I was like, I'm going to put my talents in creativity towards something else. And then that job didn't work for me in the end either, working in a creative agency, but it didn't work for me. I wasn't vibing with it. But then I also was just like, I am really unwell. Like my health was just going so downhill and I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And then I was working like 4 days to three to two and now to none. And now I haven't worked in 2 years. And my health has held me back a lot with all that stuff. But I mean, I have done probably more creative stuff since I haven't been working.
Yeah.
Than when I was, like the podcast is like
Exhibit A.
Yeah. One thing. And then we also did Comedy Fest. Wrote two shows for that, which was great. And every time I do it, I'm like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. This is what like gives me heaps of energy. But then I'm like, how do you do that? As not as a side thing, just for fun.
Hmm.
Because it's so impossible to make a career out of it unless you really like, yeah. So there's that.
Hmm.
And that's where I'm at now. But then I've always wrestled in my brain for like the two directions that, you know, life can take you. Like I don't know how, personally, I don't know how to do both at the same time, but for me in my head, I spent probably a good 4 to 5 years thinking, do I put all my energy into a creative career and performing career, or do we have a family? Do we start a family?
Yeah.
Because I don't have the physical capacity or the health to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how people do both at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't even work and do one or the other at the same, at once, you know, because my bod does not allow.
Mm.
So then we landed on deciding to have a family. But that is another thing that I've always wanted to do that I was putting off because I was like, well, if I do that, then that puts this other part of my life on hold.
Yeah.
How do I do anything that's, you know, following my passion when I have a child? And I'm like, there's these two separate things that I've always wanted in my life.
Hmm.
And I've been equally frightened, sort of, I guess, to follow either. Probably more. No, they're both frightening. Having a baby is probably much more frightening than I realized when I...
when you got pregnant. When I-
But it's different.
Yeah.
So then now this is what I'm doing. And that's equally like, yeah, as terrifying. And I feel like being pregnant, I've never felt so much like time is slipping away from me, and it's terrifying.
Mm.
And there's so much to do, and there's so much to plan and think about and learn. And I'm like, I'm running out of time to learn, and I'm fucking exhausted just from reading and learning that I've just stopped. Because I'm like, I need a break. Sorry, yeah. I've been rambling for so long.
It's good content.
But I don't... I don't know. And this is what goes around and around and around in my head every day. And then I feel like I constantly think, have I wasted my youth and like my good years and when I should have followed my passion when I was young and when people would give a shit and when I was like my most attractive and had like a nicer body or I was... had more energy, you know? Is that when I would have been more likely to have become successful as an actor and a performer rather than now it's going to be like some 35-year-old woman with 1 to 2 children and where am I going to get the energy to follow it then, you know? And then I'm like, maybe then I'm just going to have to wait till they're older and then I can do my own thing.
I mean, there are loads of examples of people doing that, like Ricky Gervais. Like, he wouldn't be funny if he hadn't spent all of his, like, 30s working in an office, you know? Because didn't he only really take off with comedy when he was in his 40s?
Yeah, true.
Sometimes you have hear these success
stories and I'm like, yeah.
But then you're also like...
would I be one of those people? Well, Ricky Gervais doesn't have children.
He does not have children.
Ricky Gervais is a white male.
Yes. White childless
and he's
boy.
Not afraid of pissing people off, whereas I'm quite afraid very of that. Afraid. I'm very afraid of the internet.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's a perpetual like cycle in my head of thinking about this stuff. And then I'm constantly like, have I made the right choice? And like right now I feel like I have made the right choice, but I feel like I have regrets about the time. How I spent my time in my 20s.
You did give the band a very good hard stab too.
Oh, true. I was in a band. Don't I forgot forget about that.
The band.
I was in a band for 10 years, 9 to 10 years.
Was it that long? Jeez.
I joined in 2014. It's 10 years this year.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
But it was like probably 5 years of solid banding.
Yeah.
Like practicing every week for like 4 hours minimum and... yeah, playing gigs like a couple times, once or twice a month and touring. We gave that a red hot freaking crack.
Yeah.
And we made heaps of music and we toured a lot. We played a lot of shows and I tried to like really hone that craft and be good. And like we spent so much money. thousands of dollars. Yeah. Like, I can't even express to you. I have no idea because we don't have a log of it, but we spent so much money on just making stuff. Do you feel good
that
you
really gave that a red hot go?
Yeah, but it didn't fucking work, did it?
Yeah.
But like, we never became really successful.
Mm. You had fans.
Yeah, and like, we still have do. Fans. We still do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say like we got picked up. It's really hard to get picked up. You have to be, it's almost just like, it's who you know.
Mm.
You have to know the right people. You need to be like picked up and like put somewhere by someone special. Yeah. And then it's like, ah, and then you're like on your way. You need like one break.
Have you seen that little like meme cartoon thing of there's like two guys digging a tunnel toward gold? You can see the gold at the end. And this guy is like, you know, a centimeter away and he's given up and he's walking back. And then the other person's like barreling on ahead, but he's further back. I think about that a fair bit. But then it's also like, what if you never get the fucking gold? Because you don't know. Like,
but we kept trying. Like, we tried for a really long time.
Mm.
I think we definitely made mistakes in how we went about it. And we weren't the best at communicating with each other.
Mm.
And I think we really needed someone to like manage us as a band.
Yeah.
And point us in the right direction, because none of us really wanted to do that. We're all so excited about the music and performing, but it's really hard. Running a band is running a business. It is a business.
Yep.
But you know, I mean, I can't say we have nothing to show for it. We don't have any money to show for it, but we don't, I mean, we have music that's, you know, eternal. You know, this music's going to be there forever. I'll be able to show my kid, like, this is me. Like, look, I've got, like, 50 CDs in the cupboard. They're all my album, you know, that I made with my friends. It's just, yeah, that was probably my biggest glimpse into how hard it is to be in the creative field.
Yeah.
And it wrecked me physically as well, like, doing that. And having my condition and not even knowing it at the time.
Yeah.
It wrecked me. And it is so hard. I can understand why performers take drugs.
Yeah.
Because I could not. Like, I was so tired all the time. I was physically drained. And I'm like, I have to go out there three nights in a row and act like I'm not tired and that I'm having the best time ever and that this is the best crowd ever. And I have to keep this level of, you know, energy up, or else everyone's gonna think that was shit because you owe it to who's in front of you. And that's playing to like 20 people at a time, sometimes 100, sometimes 200, depends on where we were, sometimes five people. And you have to perform the same to five people as 500.
Yeah.
And then I think about on the larger scale, like these people playing like stadiums. Yeah. And if you're having a shit day or if you have like a cold, you can't just not perform because it's like everyone expects. Anyway, it was really hard. And then I'm like, I have regrets because I'm like, did I try hard enough? Did I really try hard enough? But I think it's also a case of me trying to do a few different things at once.
Yes.
And not having my brain focused on one craft, because I'm like, oh, I love painting. Oh, I love singing and music. And oh, but I want to be an actor. And then never really picking one and being like, yep, let's do this and try and make it.
And you see someone like Cody Simpson and it's like, how are you so good at singing and at swimming? Like, those are two completely different
things. I don't know who that is, but it sounds impressive.
Oh, Miley Cyrus's ex-boyfriend. But, like, he's an Australian guy and he's, like, Olympic-level swimmer, but he's also quite a famous musician. And it's like, how have you done both those things? Like, you must do nothing else but those two things, surely.
Some people are just gifted.
Some people are just fucking good. Or some people just don't get held back by their brains, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel stunned a lot of the time and paralyzed by my brain, and I'm so bad at making decisions, and it's just, the anxiety is so high all the time, and I'm so nervous to make the wrong decision that I probably take too long to make any decision, and by the time I've made one, I'm like, well, I probably could have made this decision a long time ago.
Yeah.
And even if it was a wrong decision, I'd still be further along than I am now because I never chose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel regret and then you feel shit about yourself. And that's how I feel. And then I'm like, fuck, have I fucked up? Have I? I don't know. But then I look back at all the things I've done. Like, I have done quite a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But is it enough? But then is it just okay to live your life and be happy? And am I gonna
Is it okay to just be happy?
Is it okay to just, like, live your life and not have to be, like, have claimed success in a particular field or or job, you know, or craft? It's just, I feel like there's this real push for, it's like you have to have your thing and you have to succeed at it. And if you don't, then you failed at life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stressful.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to make sense of it.
Relatable content. Yeah.
Hopefully I'm really happy being a mum and that gives me a lot of purpose in life. And I think it will.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to, like, sit around and rely on that. Like, oh, once I'm a mum, my life will feel complete.
I'll have meaning.
You know, because I know that's stupid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it will have a significant amount more meaning.
Yeah. Yep.
It'll just be like a brand new, I guess, tangent that I've taken. Mm. Anyway, did I answer your question? Did I answer the question?
Yeah.
I
think so. What's something you've always wanted to do and why haven't you done it? You wanted to be a performer and a very many reasons why you haven't done it, but you have also done it.
That's the thing. It's like I haven't not done it.
Yeah.
It's just,
I guess it's sort of like when you think about, I wanted to be a performer, you wanted to be a performer as a consistent career, right?
But then did I? Because I think about life as a performer, I'm like, it's tiring. And I don't think I think I had to accept at one point that that's not something I'm physically capable of doing.
Mm. And then maybe that's the thing too. And it's sort of like, but maybe that's why I never fully was like putting everything into it. Because it's like, do I actually want that outcome? Or can I
don't know if it's that I don't want it. It's like, I think I knew that I wasn't going to be able to sustain it and do it. Because physically, like the life of a performer, I don't think I could do it. I think it would make me very ill.
Yeah. Hmm.
But also it's like, you know, nights.
Yes.
Weekends.
Yes.
That's the time I get to spend with Nick. Because he's not, if he was in the same field, maybe it would be great. But it's, I prioritize my relationship like over a lot of things.
Yeah.
But that is probably the thing that makes me happiest in the whole world. So that's why I prioritize that.
Yeah, it's good.
But anyway, your turn. What have you always wished you've done with your life but you never did?
Many things. Look, we'll probably overlap pretty well. But I guess to start, let's just focus on acting because I think, yeah, part of the reason I haven't done it is the fact that there are so many things that I thought about doing and hypothetically so many things that I'm capable of doing. So it's always this like, what do I want to put all my energy into?
You're like me. You're like an all-round, like you can pick up a lot of things and be good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like academically, like broad, you're not,
yeah,
you don't lack academically. Like you could pretty much be thrown into anything and do pretty well at it.
Yeah. I mean, like I didn't love doing, I think we've spoken about this before science. On the pod. I didn't love doing the research in science, but I love science. I think science is so interesting. And I got good marks considering I wasn't putting my all into that degree. Mm. But then it's like the whole time I was doing science, I was thinking like, I want to be doing acting. I want to be performing.
Mm.
And it was something that I always thought about doing, but I was also just like, I guess not, what's the word? I didn't have the self-confidence to do it at the time. And I think it was a lot of like other people's expectations of what they thought that I would be into. Because I had like, there was no, I don't think much of a clue for a lot of people that that was the thing I wanted to do. I think a lot of people were like, what the fuck? When I said I was going to go do drama after science, people were like, pardon?
You pardon what?
Yeah, you just did 3 years of science. You have a double major in zoology and biology. I'm like, yep, I'm going to go act with some 18-year-olds now. But yeah, God. I think it's because, there were so many things that I thought about doing. And I was like, I'm going to do, I had so much this feeling of time pressure when I finished. The whole time I was doing my science degree, I'm like, I'm wasting my youth, you know, and I graduated when I was 21, but I was like, I'm wasting my whole youth doing this thing and so many years behind me and I'm so behind in acting. So I thought like the best way for me to catch up is I'm going to go to one of the drama schools. So at first I thought I was going to go to NIDA or WAPA.
Yeah.
But I was like, I've had no experience in like 10 years of acting. I did acting as a child. I hadn't done anything since I hit puberty pretty much.
This is the other thing. Sorry to interrupt you, but I had the same thought. I was like, yep, I'm going to go to NIDA or WAPA. Like, and that's the ultimate goal, you know? And then I found out that they take like 10 people a year. really? Or whatever it is, yeah. Something stupid in like each particular course or whatever. Kind of like VCA as well. Okay. Yeah, it was like I auditioned for the performing the musical theatre one. They take 10 women, 10 male, 10 female.
Yeah.
Once a year, and that's it.
Wow.
And you're up against everyone, and you're all auditioning in front of each other, and it's just
In front of each other. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing when I realized. I was like, how am I supposed to compete with anybody else? Like, after I finished school, I was like, there are people that have been acting and their parents put them in like baby acting schools and they've had agents and they've been doing commercials and shit and for their whole lives. And I've done theater at school and been in the productions. That's it.
Yeah.
Even some of my friends did theater outside of school.
Yeah. Like, yep. My high school didn't even have theater. There was no drama program in my high school. God.
How did you know you liked it? When did you get the opportunity to perform?
I think what I've realized fairly recently is the thing that I really love about acting is like the storytelling. And like, I really love things like fantasy, sci-fi, that sort of thing is like what I'm really drawn to, and like video games and these sort of things. So it's more like that aspect. I think that's the thing that I really like about it. So I just watch a lot of TV and be incredibly jealous of the people who were acting these parts.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that's what had me and still does have me.
I think like about that when I'm watching people singing.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's that classic. It's like, oh, they're not very good. I'm better than them.
Yeah, I can do better than that.
I can do better than that, but you're fucking not. You're on your couch. Yeah,
but you're not. That's the thing.
You're on your couch not doing better than that.
Yep.
But you know you can, and that's your fault.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. It's hard to sort of keep that momentum. Like, yeah, I think a lot about how much it's like, it's your own brain stopping you from doing things. Like, if you really want to do it, then fucking do it. And I'm just like,
how can I blame like the degree I did for not giving me enough? Like, I really wanted to, I should have taken my career in my own hands.
Yep.
And gone and sought out professional advice on how to become a professional in whatever field I decided to be in.
Mm.
It's like, you can't blame anyone else but yourself.
Yep.
Like, you're responsible.
Yeah. I have a very similar thing coming out. I guess I'll finish.
Yeah, sorry, finish.
I started the drama degree and I thought I'm going to do a year at Deakin because they don't have entrance auditions anymore. I'm going to do the major. I'm going to like do a year of it, get more like accustomed with it, see if I like acting, and then I'm going to audition for all the schools after a year. Like, realistically,
the acting schools, yeah, the actual acting schools. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which a few people did. There was a guy from our class who got into NIDA. I since realized that NIDA is probably not the right vibe. I just feel like it's just like way too intense, and they like break everyone down and kind of build them up in the same sort of way. And it's like, that's
really,
not really
that
what I'm
old school mentality of like, yeah, you just have to be pushed to your breaking point, and it's
Which is, I don't know, a lot of people getting without having to do that sort of stuff. And then I think I enjoyed first year enough that I was like, I'm going to do second year. Then I got halfway through second year and I was like, what am I doing? I'm doing like another degree. But then I was halfway through and I was like, well, I'm going to finish it.
Gotta finish it by now.
Yeah. Which I only don't regret because of you and Catherine, because I wouldn't have been friends with you like I am. Like,
that's,
I think I'd met
thing.
You, but we weren't really friends until later on in the degree. Like, we weren't friends
in
first
year. Yeah, we met in first
year,
but we became friends like end of second year.
Yeah. I was way too intimidated by that dude.
When we were both in a play about the plague. I don't know why you were intimidated by me. I don't understand.
Too funny. I was like, I'm never going to be this
good.
Oh,
I thought
she's
you meant
so
just
funny.
Me. Oh, so you just thought I was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, too cool because you're too funny.
I did not feel cool at uni at all.
Mm.
I felt very like a complete loser.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, not what I thought. So
and,
there you
and
go.
I've said this before, but everyone thought I was like on drugs and really hardcore and like in a gang or something in first year.
I didn't. I just thought she
and
was
I
funny
was
and
like,
scared of sheep.
I can't even. Yeah, I'm literally scared of sheep and I'm very awkward.
Hmm.
I don't know why you're getting this like gangster vibe off me. Anyway.
Gangster vibe.
So, yes, you were going to finish your degree because you were like, I'm 2.5 years in.
Then I finished. I thought, like, because we did our third year thing and I was going to be like, we actually write this play together and we do a proper play. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. Like,
and you
we'll
had me, the light of your life.
And I had the only thing keeping me going. I do. I also had, like, complete actual insomnia at this point. Like, I had really bad insomnia.
I didn't
for,
know
like,
that.
Did you not? Like, all, like, second year, I think I was just stressed about, I don't know what the fuck, but I was, like, not sleeping.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Awful. But anyway.
Awful time in
awful,
my life.
Awful time. Then I finished the degree and I asked one of our teachers. We had this teacher, without going into too much detail, but she essentially, she brought me and was it us together into her office, and she had the full list of everyone in our class. And she was essentially like, you guys and these four people have a chance of doing something with your life. Yes. Everyone else,
yes.
Useless.
Yes. Yes. And then I think you were with me and we were like, so what should we do? And she was like, honours.
Yeah.
And do the same thing, but it's like another 12 grand or 10 grand to do the whole year.
Yeah.
I started honours. And you do the same thing. Did you?
Yeah, I got 3 weeks in and I quit. I was like, this is a waste of time.
Literally. I'm like, are you doing the same thing again? And yeah. I'm like, I don't need to do that again.
I pretty much just did it because it gave me the timeline and the deadlines of having to do something. I was like, yeah, it'll make me make content. Then I was like sitting in one of the information sessions.
Perpetual student.
I was so bored. This would be my seventh Alexander year of uni Kappa. In a row.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need this. I can just make my own stuff. And then I didn't. But I went and had like a meeting with her and I was like, I just want to know, like I booked it in. It was after I graduated. I was like, I just want to talk to you about like how to get started because I don't know how to start.
So you actually did that.
I actually did that.
I didn't do
that. Which was like a big, yeah, I had to like really psych myself up.
Good on you.
Thank you. Well, I went to go get her advice because literally this is what like people just say, people who haven't done anything creative, the amount of times friends or family members have been like, just do it. Just act. Just message a director. I'm like, it just doesn't work. And it is difficult because you do hear stories of people occasionally messaging a director like Kate Winslet just wouldn't fucking leave
someone alone.
James Cameron? Alone with Titanic.
Yeah.
And then she got the part eventually, right? But she was also kind of a known actor. Like if I'm just annoying directors, you can just as easily get blacklisted as you can get success. So it's really hard. Like you do want to make a bold move. But it's not as easy as just, like, being annoying until they let you in.
No, and you have to also, like, you kind of have to have tickets on yourself. You have to be confident, but not overly confident that everyone thinks you're an arrogant asshole.
Mm.
So there's, like, a very fine line
in
the industry with, like, knowing that you're good, but also not being outwardly too much in that way.
You have to show yourself off, but not be up yourself.
But you also, it's kind of like you are in competition with everybody else and you're all in plain view.
Mm.
So it's like you kind of do have to like be like, yeah, I'm better than you.
Yeah. Yep.
Step down, bitch.
Which is also a really difficult sort of environment to be in. It's a little side tangent. Because sometimes the people that you meet on sets are really like cold and standoffish because they have this like very competitive mindset.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I really don't like that. Like, whenever someone's asked me for acting advice, like, I'm like, I'm not obviously a guru, but, like, when a younger person, like, I have a friend of a friend sort of thing who was, like, just getting into acting, and I was like, I'll teach you everything I know.
Mm.
I'm not famous, but, like, I'll give you all the information that I took years to put together. So, like, because I would wish someone had said this information to me sort of thing. Anyway, I went to go ask our teacher, our lecturer, whatever, our tutor, and she was essentially like, you're a young white guy. Just do it. And I was like,
great advice.
But how do I start? She's like, just do it. And I was like, what?
Okay, and then I left and I was like,
I'm still fucking like.
I feel better knowing that I didn't like.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten anywhere by asking that. Anyway. Yeah. I think she also said like, you're very capable. So I was like, cool. Thank you for that. I did a course during lockdown and this guy said, you're actually in less competition than you think acting as you get older. Cause he's like, the number of people
Who drop
off. Yeah. Which is the thing. Like as I'm getting older, I do sort of think like not that I didn't mind. I spent most of my 20s being stressed, not being in the position that I wanted to be in.
Yeah. But you did a lot of,
I tried some things out.
Finish your thought.
Feeling uncomfortable. And now that I'm early 30s, I am sort of starting to think, like, do I want to spend my next 10 years doing the same thing?
Yeah.
And I do look back and I'm repeating like, I was so stressed. Yeah. And like, you know, it's in a way, it's like, you know, I thought I was making a bold move by not getting a science job because I thought I'll get distracted, which I probably would have. But then in a way, it's like I would have had more money to spend on other things. Like I would have had less time. So it's like I've tried a lot of stuff and then it's like now I'm like, okay, looking long term, do I want to keep doing this? Because it's like, realistically, if I spend another 10 years, maybe I'll get to a point that I want to be. But it's like, that's also half my life at that point.
It feels like a wormhole, like a black hole.
Yeah.
Where it's like, where's the end? Where's the gold?
Yeah.
I could just keep chipping away at it.
Yeah. And I think realistically, because we're interested in so many things, it's like, if I chose to do something more sustainable, would I be just as happy? And I have had the thought about kids too, because I sort of like part of the reason I decided not to have kids is because I want to have this sort of life.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes I'm like, is that the right fucking choice? Like,
but you'll is never it know. Worth it?
I'll never know. I will never know. But yeah, I don't see how people do everything. No, essentially.
They're exhausted.
Yes.
They don't have time for their family. They don't have time for their friends. And if they do, they're like not sleeping.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are they happy?
And I think a lot of people, like if you look at famous actors, it's often a lot of like, if it's a famous actor who has like four kids, their wife does a lot and they have nannies, that sort of thing. So,
it's totally different when you've made it big in that respect and then you just have the complete security of like, I can do one job a year and it'll pay me enough. You know, it'll be 2 months work or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just so different. But I don't think there's clearly no answer. There's no way to know if there's a right or wrong decision.
Mm. Yeah. There's no one right way either. I think that was a very like limiting mindset I had when I was in my early 20s. It's like, I need to make the right decision. But then that was very paralyzing because it's like, I'm not doing anything because no decision feels like enough.
Both of us did the same thing. We spread ourselves quite thin across multiple different, I guess, disciplines of creative stuff, tried a lot of things, didn't commit enough to one thing because we were so worried about making the right choice. And now we're 30 and we're reevaluating. Well, yeah. I feel like I've totally reevaluated my life in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
I feel like you just have to go with what energizes you and makes you happy because I have zero interest in following something that's not going to make me happy. And I'm like, I'm already 30. That's a third of my life gone.
Yeah.
And how much of that have I...
That's assuming we live to 90, like,
exactly.
Know.
That's assuming you live to 90. You could die tomorrow. If I were to die, I'm like, how much of my life have I been stressed about not being happy?
Yeah.
And not doing something that makes me happy? But then I'm like, is that just like some fantasy, like rainbows and roses way of looking at life? Because there's this other mentality of like, I feel like our parents' generation is like, life's not there for you to be happy. You should be working, having a career and making money and like just working hard.
Yeah.
And life is work.
I feel like, starting to sort of sometimes I think about, life is not there to be enjoyed. It's like this random coincidence and most of life for other animals is suffering constantly.
Yes, and survival.
It's like, shouldn't we just be happy that we're not in that situation? Like, even a lot of humanity is just all about survival.
Yeah.
And we're like, we don't have enough meaning in our lives. And it's like, maybe we should just be happy being stable. Like,
that's where I'm
at. You know, like,
that's literally where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I don't need to add a million things to my life anymore or worry about that. But I'm still like, I still feel regret.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much. Maybe I shouldn't be regretful for not trying hard enough, in quotation marks. Maybe I tried to the best of my ability at the time with the resources I had and the energy that I had. Like, my health, I probably don't, like, emphasize enough how much that has impacted my life in a negative way and held me back from doing. I don't know where I would be if I was, like, a healthy human being.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe it's not so much about how hard I tried. Maybe my regrets lie more with, like, how I was reacting to that and then how hard I was on myself for that and not recognizing I was trying when I was.
Yeah.
And being really stressed about, not making the right decision.
Yeah, I think the...
Instead of just living in the moment.
Yeah, it's
instead
of too living much pressure.
A decade ahead in my brain. Because I'm like, I'm in the moment now where I've been stressed about for so long, being 30 and having a child, and where I thought I would be and what I thought I would have done before this moment. And now it's upon me. Like, I'm 2 months away from my life turning in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
And I've been worried the whole way leading up to this point, thinking I need to get blah, blah, blah done and success and that.
And worry hasn't gotten us anywhere.
So no, but like, life throws you. Yeah.
Like,
life throws you so many curveballs. There's so many things you can't control.
Yeah.
A bit depressing, isn't it? Yes. Or is it just real?
It's probably just real. Hello, everyone. Are you relating? I was about to say, I hope you're relating, but like, actually, if you're not relating, good for you.
If you're not relating, like, round of applause, you probably are pretty happy.
Yeah.
And not anxiety laden.
Yeah. Because I do just think about some of my friends who I'm jealous of are the ones that just like are at a point where they're quite happy with their jobs. They're making a very good income. And yeah. They just afford to like, hey, let's just go on this holiday. Yeah. Like, I have to plan a holiday like a year in advance because I'm like, I'm not going to have the money for that.
Yeah.
I still do it and I still don't really have the money for it. But it's like, how nice to just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know if I did that and I know if you did that, you'd be like, I should be doing something creative. I need to be bloody blah, blah, blah.
That's probably the takeaway message.
And you'd probably get bored because, like, that's the other thing. Yeah. I don't think I've ever enjoyed a job I've had. I've always gotten bored of it.
Yeah. Yep.
I've never fully been like, I could do this for the next 20 years. Or even 10 or 5.
Yeah.
I've always been like, nah, time to move on.
It's always felt very temporary, though. It's always just like a means of money. And I do wonder if I made the conscious decision, like, I'm going to really, like, do nutrition or something and use that qualification I have. Like, would I get satisfaction out of that? Like, when people ask me nutrition advice and I can actually answer the questions, I'm like, ooh, this is energizing. I like this. But I'm like, smart. Do I want to do that?
Well, I mean, you studied for it.
I did. I could,
but you're too afraid to go and chase the job.
Yeah, because I'm like, but then I'm not doing acting enough. Who's to say? Anyway, we can get stuck doing this for another half an hour.
Yeah, that was a really long rant. So
let us know your thoughts down below.
Yeah. Well,
down below. It's not a YouTube video, Alex.
No, it's not a YouTube video. That's my main thought. I think you should do YouTube and stick to it.
Thank you.
Because
when you said that, that felt good. Because
I feel like you should do it.
Did I say this on the beach or did I say this to Catherine?
No, didn't say it to
me. I pretty much said, this year I want to really focus on YouTube because...
Well, you can because I'm gone.
I'm gone.
I'm gone for a while. I give you permission.
Okay, well, I'll focus on it while the pod's in a...
The pod's in limbo on pause.
Well, the pod is paused. I'll just focus on that because I'm not really feeling the urge to really pursue acting stuff right now. And I think I'm a bit burnt out from it. But I've also wanted to do YouTube since I was 16, which is half my life ago.
I know, and you've been sort of half doing it
And occasionally had little successes with it. And I'm like, ooh, maybe I should do this. And then I don't keep doing it because I get scared or something distracts me. But I've had a few successes on YouTube lately and I'm like, okay, maybe I should keep doing it. Like, growth is okay. TikTok's been going pretty well and I'm like, why don't you just fucking stick to it? But I'm also like, TikTok is one subject, one YouTube channel is another, and the other YouTube channel is completely different as well. But I'm also like, I'm just going to keep doing some stuff for a bit and I'll see which one takes off more. I feel more energized toward and I'll keep doing that.
Throw some shit at a wall to see what sticks.
Yep, just going to keep releasing videos.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well, we hope you can relate. If you feel like having a chat with either of us about it, message us on our Instagram page if you can relate. We'd love to hear from you because, this is very real for us. This is very...
Help
me. Small little blob of flesh on a planet the size of a grain of sand in reality, probably less... in terms of the scale of the universe, because we don't mean anything. Yep. So, anyway, that's it.
Cucumbers with anxiety. Goodbye. Goodbye. Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up and send ship it off. That's the episode, tied with a bow.
The more you know.
The more you know. Well, you've probably gotten quite a bit of insight into our brains again.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Sorry if it's sent you into your own existential crisis / what do I do with my life crisis. But that's the end of episode 31. We have one more episode for you for the foreseeable future. We'll see. We'll see. You know, maybe I'll have a really chill baby and I'll be able to do shit like this all the time.
He's going to get a little baby microphone, a Yeti Mini.
Yeah. In front of him. Mama. He's so cool.
I don't know why he's so Italian. He will not be speaking this year.
He might? How dare you? I could have a Wunderchild. Wunderkind.
Wunderkind.
I could have a...
Mama, ich spreche drei... I speak three languages, mother.
There are babies that speak at 9 months old. You know what? He might say his first word on Christmas Day and he'll be like, gingerbread.
He's void.
Well, yeah, if it's any indication, our baby's first words will probably be...
When she says our baby, she means hers and Nick's, not our baby.
I'm just thinking of the words that he would hear the most around the house. Probably fuck. Ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. What the hell?
It's funny when kids start to speak and you like stop swearing so much.
Stop swearing, yeah. Anyway, sorry, got distracted. Yes, if you like what you hear, as always, share with your friends, share our content, share our stuff, share our pod. And if you're feeling extra generous, give us a rating. You can rate our show 5 stars if you feel so inclined on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
Wherever you tango on the web.
Wherever you tango on the web, wherever you get your podcasts. So, yeah, yep. Anything you can do to share us around, spread the love, would be greatly appreciated. And we'll be back in a fortnight for you to hear us for the last time. So sad. Yep. So sad. Big cries.
Yeah, the perfect time for us to go viral would, of course, be while we're in a hiatus. So,
yep.
Make that happen, pod fam.
Yeah, make it happen. Blow this shit up. Anyway.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.